today's daf is daf Lamed Dalet. So in Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, so we have the following situation of an Eruv that was put into some sort of a tower. Naslam Bemigdol was placed in a tower. Ve'avad Hamafteach Kigavos. The Reza Eruv, it's still good Eruv, says the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer Amim Enu Yodea Shemafteach Bemkomo Enu Eruv. Eliezer says, if you don't know that the key is in its place, then it's not considered to be a good Eruv. So the Gemara says that the opinion of the Tanakhama is l'chayra problematic. B'may, hu b'makam echad ve'ruv b'makam achiru. This is a case where he is in one place and his Eruv is in another place and it's not accessible. As Rashi says, even though both he and the Eruv are in a Rishus HaYachid, since he's not able to actually retrieve the Eruv because of the fact that it's trapped in a tower, in a big cabin, therefore it's considered like it's two different mekamos. So the question is, why can't you just crash through it? The Gemara is going to talk about that, but it's going to say that we're talking about a Migdol Shelavanim. It's made up of bricks, and the bricks are not cemented together, so you can just kind of like pick up one layer without necessarily destroying the entire binyan, and that's how you would be able to get to the food of the Eruv that you set aside without having to destroy anything and without having to be over in any Makkah. But at least in the Havamina, we're talking about a Kli Shel Eid. So Tosfos asks the question, we're talking about a Kli Shel Eid, then why can't we just my parach? You should be allowed to just destroy the kli. You could destroy the vessel, the cabinet, and take what is within it. Parakachavis, as we learned in Sefer Shabbos, the Daf Kuf member of Amun Aleph in Parakachavis, Shover Adam is Sachavis Litom Imenu Kugogos, that you're allowed to basically break a barrel in order to take the dried figs out of the barrel. And that's because there is no concept of binyan ustira bekelim. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers here. Tosfos says, well, it's possible that if we're talking about a migdol gadol, a very, very large cabinet, then there would be binyan ustira. There would be the possibility of even being over on binyan ustira with respect to kelim. And then Tosfos goes even further.
The assumption is that migdol is a
Yeah, and then the Tosfos goes even further and says that the kli nami, that maybe even if it's not a kli gadol, there's fundamentally the notion of binyan and stira. Maybe some of the chumos might not be applicable, but fundamentally the concept of binyan and stira does apply. The Aruch HaShulchan has a bit of an essay about this at the beginning of Siman Shin Yudalit, in which he brings a raya from this Tosfos that essentially there is, on a fundamental level, a notion of binyan and stira b'kelim. That's why if you build a kli on Shabbos, presumably you'll be chayiv. And he says that when we have the expression ein binyan and stira b'kelim, as we do on daf lamed hey, that simply means that some of the chumos that would otherwise be applicable to something which is a genuine kli, like the ability sometimes to tear it apart, for example, that those chumers don't apply to kelim, but the chumers that would normally apply to binyan and stira don't apply when you're dealing with kelim. But if you're really mamish building something, you're building a whole kli, so of course there would be a concept of binyan and stira, and therefore we can talk about binyan and stira in the context of kelim as well. So Tosfos says that's why there is the kasha that is asked, because there is the possibility of speaking about binyan and stira, even though we're talking about kelim. So if that's the case, why then is it permissible to break the barrel? In the Gemara and Shabbos, the Tosfos asks the kasha from, why can you in fact break the barrel? So Tosfos points out, well, b'had shari lishbor chavis, the permission that's given in the Gemara and Shabbos to break the barrel, hamukila b'beitza, the Gemara and Beitza already gives an answer, perika maybe, but mustaki, that we're talking about, mustaki, what are mustaki? Mustaki means that it's a very weak kind of barrel. It's not a very sturdy, solid chavis. It's not a sturdy kli, but it's one which is essentially patched together through various pieces. Perush, Chatichos hamedubakos yachad. If I have various pieces that are patched together, v'apagav, and then then Tosa says, even though that only seems to be according to one Tana, it has to be according to the Chachamim as well, that this is what we basically assume, says Tosfos, that the permission to break a barrel is based upon this notion of mustaki, that whenever I have a very weak type of kli, so then there isn't a problem of breaking through it. So that's how Tosfos understands the sugya in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav, based on the Gemara in Beis. Now, if you look in Rashi on that sugya in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Mem Vav, so Rashi just says that there's no issa of kilkul, there's no issa of mekalkil. So, of course, that's strange because we know that mekalkil generally is an issa drabanan. Even if you're completely mekalkil something, called mekalkil and peturin, of alasurin, right? That it's considered to be an issa drabanan. So that Rashi is often understood to stand for the proposition that when it comes to retrieving food items or things that are tzarchei Shabbos, so then if the way in which you retrieve them, whether it's a bag of food or whether it's a plastic bag of cups or plates that you're going to need for your Shabbos meals for tzarchei Shabbos, even a toy, some say that you might need for Shabbos purposes if it's something that you need for Shabbos, and the only way to get to it is by breaking through the bags, so that type of kilkul is considered to be mutter entirely. And that, if you follow that approach, then you don't necessarily even need the heter of mustaki. The Tosfos mentions that it has to be something which is a very flimsy kli. But Tosfos is introducing a different sort of heter. Tosfos is saying, no, that there isn't necessarily carte blanche approval to just break through to complete kalim, even if you do it in a destructive fashion in order to retrieve food. It has to be something which is essentially mustaki. And mustaki, explains Tosfos, is something which is flimsy. It's like, you know, patchwork. Tosfos in Beitza explains that the idea is that it's not really a kli. It's not really, you're not really breaking anything because since it's so flimsy to begin with, therefore, it doesn't have the din of a kli. Rashi, Taka, and Beitza gives a different explanation of mustaki. The mustaki Rashi understands over there is something which is very specific, that it is that it's considered to be okay because of the fact that since it can so easily come apart, therefore, when you put a hole or some sort of a break in the chavis, which is made out of mustaki, you're going to do it in a way in which it's not going to be incredibly thorough. It's just going to be like a little hole. It's going to be a little perforation, and therefore it's not going to be a pesach yafe. You're not going to do anything of a constructive nature, and that's the reason why mustaki is okay, but not because of the fact that there's something inherently within the idea of mustaki that causes a utensil not to have a din of a kli anymore. But this, the concept of Tosfos, that it's something which doesn't have the din of a kli anymore, is something which I think was viewed as attractive even by many contemporary poskim, because this comes up in the context of what types of utensils that contain food inside are you allowed to open up for Shabbos purposes. Let's say you have a can, let's say you have a carton, let's say you have a plastic bag of potato chips. When is it that we say that you're allowed to open it up on Shabbos, and when do we say that no, by opening it up, you're creating a problem? What would be the potential problem? It could be any number of problems. It could be soser, that I'm destroying an object by tearing it apart. It could be korea, that I'm making a tear in an object. It could be makabipatish. It could be that I didn't have a usable cover or opening or spout of a particular container beforehand, and now by virtue of opening it, I'm creating an opening, I'm creating a spout, I'm making a Pesach Yafes. So these are the various problems. So for these various problems, there's a literature about how we understand that these assorted Gemaras, this Gemara over here, the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Beitza, for purposes of kind of putting them all together, you know, Yesh Bingin Ustira Besugya Sashas, for, you know, putting them all together and trying to piece them together in such a way that they'll all make sense and we can figure out what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. So the problem is that there really seem to be, as I've outlined, different approaches in Rishonim as to where a possible heter would come from? Is there a general heter that whenever your mekalkel covers a food for purposes of getting to the foods, that's always going to be mutter? Or is there no such heter? And really, the heterim, to the extent that there are any, are based on defining when it is that you don't have something which is an absolute kli. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, for example, the Be'er Halacha, at the beginning of Siman Shin Yud Daled, so he kind of tries to cast question upon the assumption that there's an outright blanket heter to just be mekalkel covers of food containers in order to get to the food. He says that there really is no such concept. If you look here, what's his lashon? I'll open up to the beginning of Siman Shin Yud Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch starts off with a kind of Ein Binyan Ustira Bekelim Ani Mila Shenu Binyan Mamish, talking about when there is no Binyan Mamish. And then goes on to say, Kigon, Chavish Shinishbra B'dibek Shvareh B'zefes. This is our case of Mustaki, right? If I have a barrel which was broken, and then you put together its broken parts, that's essentially Tosfos. Yachol L'shava Likach Masha B'solcha, so then you're allowed to break it in order to take out what was within it. U'bavachli Yekavin L'nachva Nekav Yopi. As long as you avoid the makeh bepatish pitfall of making a pesach yopesh sheyelo the pesach tzimkein avolam esaki mana, because then it would be a makeh bepatish a bowl. But if I have a utensil that's not mustaki, that is a full fledged well built utensil avayim hishlema asal shava afilu beinyan sheno osakli, then you're not allowed to break it apart, because that presumably would be a problem of a stira. Okay. So says the Be'er Halacha, Bida, to after midas Rashi, even though it appears from Rashi and Masechta Shabbos, Mashva de Mekalkel, Heichishu Letzorach Shabbos Mutter Lachatchila. Whenever it is Letzorach Shabbos, it sounds like it's always going to be mutter to just break through, for example, food containers. Nonetheless, Tosfos Verosh Verad Pligiola. Tosfos, as we mentioned, has a different approach of Rashi. Other Rishonim also have a different approach towards Rashi. But Afkamina, he said, Gamlin Yatsha Malachos, and Afkamina would be with respect to other Malachos, B'efsher, but he says maybe Rashi would agree that other Malachos, other than, say, Soser or Korea, would be a problem as well. But it could be the Rashi holds that whenever it's a question of Tzorach Shabbos or a food item, and you're Mekalkil, so then all problems go away. So he brings a raya from our Gemara that you can't say that there is a kind of an across-the-board heter to just break through things for the purpose of food. What's the raya from our Gemara? V'teda to the inyan stiras migdol gadol. Our Gemara talks about if you have a large cabinet, shubichlal ohel, muchak mirashi erevin ad lamidalet, even Rashi himself, on daf, an hour daf, but we're talking about a large migdol. B'chein muchak me'a gemara shamer maskana, the asa the kuli amma the shava v'likak v'meno ha'erev la'achlo. Afshu gamkein l'tzorach Shabbos, that everybody agrees that if I'm talking about, for example, a large migdol, that you would not be allowed to break through it in order to take away the eruv on Shabbos, right? That's sort of the gemara on Amud Aleph. That's talking about this migdol that you're not going to be able to break through. So this is a question as to whether or maybe it's he doesn't give which Dibur HaMaskel he's talking about with respect to the Rashi on this stop. Is he talking about Amud Aleph in that case, or is he talking about Amud Beis? Now, Mistami is talking about our Gemara over here. Mistami is talking about the Gemara over here. Unless he's saying because in that case it's just a question of whether you could be noted the migdol or not. Here it's a question as to whether you can access the food. So he's talking about our sugi here in the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Amud Beis, where presumably, you know, even here, Rashi says, Kimin lo matzi shakile. So why is it Rashi says, Kimin lo matzi shakile? So obviously he's accepting the premise that we're not automatically allowing you to break through the Migdol. So therefore, he says that certainly based upon our sugya, it appears that there is no outright heter of mekalkil with respect to the food retrieval on Shabbos. So if so, so what heter are we left with? So we're left with essentially this heter of mustaki, if something is not considered to be a kli. So when is it that I say that something is not going to be considered to be a kli? So that is, so that's a question. So the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, this is Perek Tes of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, a couple of footnotes that quote Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who's of the opinion that whenever I have a kli, which is essentially a kli chad pa'omi, which is essentially a kli that I'm going to get rid of after I open it up for purposes of the food, and I'm not going to use it for future storing of food, that it's just a kind of, that I need to open it up, even if I'm talking about a can, even if I'm talking about a milk carton or something of that variety, but it's not something that I'm going to set aside for future use, even though it might be very sturdy in the way that it's built. It's not the shivrei debekus kalim. It's not just that I'm putting kind of little pieces of broken shards together, like in the case of the classical case of chavis shamustaki that Tosas describes in our daf, but it's just functionally, it's something which is not going to be utilized as a kli for permanent purposes. So says the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, quoting from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shamati Tam Leheter. It's like Shamati Tam Leheter. And what's the case that he's talking about? He's talking about Kupsios, Sakios, Vachabilos, Eila Shein Megilim Lishtamish Brahem, Shimush Nosop. So he says, Ak Mikivan, this is in the footnote, Mikivan Shirigilim Lizrok Miyadis Akupsa. So says Shlomo Zalman, since you generally will throw it out immediately afterwards, it doesn't mean that you're going to throw it out the second that you open it up, right? That's always like the heta for those who are machmer is that you mamish. Like if you hold that destroying it is always going to be mutter, so that's how you destroy it. I could destroy a milk carton by opening it up, say, without making a spout. This is what we used to do in Moshe Kolot. They forgot to open up the cartons before Shabbos. They may just make a hole in the bottom and have the whole thing fall out, you know, onto the floor or onto a pitcher or, you know, whatever. You know, hopefully you made it into the pitcher before the whole thing fell out into the floor. But this is a different answer. This is saying, even if I'm going to use it for the duration of when the contents of the food, of the milk, are still inside the container, since I'm not going to use it afterwards, mekiven sheregilim lizrok miyadas or kupsa la'ashba, mistaber tehoshiv kikli ra'ua. Therefore, he says that he thinks that this, by definition, has the status of a kli ra'ua, of a flimsy kli, meaning that it's not really deep down considered to be an actual kli. Ukechavish a mustaki, and therefore this too would essentially have the status of a chavish a mustaki, would be viewed the same way as this patchwork type of barrel, that just like you'd be allowed to break through that in order to retrieve the content, so too you'd be allowed to use even containers and cans and cartons that are not going to be utilized for future purposes. Now, of course, this is a tremendous chiddush, and there seems to be such a plethora of different approaches and shitas of how you understand the sugya, if you understand that anything that's not patched together really is a kli, then, in fact, you would not be able to rely upon this kula. Or if you understand that the kula is not based on it's not being a kli, but the kula is based on the fact that you're mekalkulin entirely, so if you're not mekalkulin entirely, then you can't rely upon this kula. So, therefore, this does not take away from the general approach that pretty much all the posts can have, which is that a person should do their utmost to open all of the cans and containers before Shabbos so that they don't have questions whatsoever regarding any of these types of situations, but at least with respect to the cans and the cartons and the containers and those things that are not going to be used again, as long as the person is careful, and this is, of course, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, a person is careful not to make a Pesach Yafe, so then there is a possible kula, at least according to the Shita of Shlomo Zalman, in the event that I would view these kelim as mustaki, and I assume that the source that I can be making in all of these other cases is based essentially upon mustaki. The Aruch HaShulchan goes so far as to say that the halakha that you find later in Siman Shin Yud Aleph, which is also based on the Gemara in Shabbos about the chosolos shel tamar megrogros, where you have basically jars or you have bags of dates and dried figs, where the Gemara says essentially that you're allowed to unravel them on Shabbos, right? Chosolos shel tamar megrogros. That if it's wrapped with a rope, then you're allowed to undo the rope, the chotech, and you can cut it, right? Afilu besaki, and even with a knife, afilu gufan shel chosolos, you can even cut through the actual container. You're talking about some type of container. Mine kelim, says the Rama, you can cut through the container. Shekol zeh, kemo sheshover, it goes in moshkedim kedei lito lochel shebem. Because all of this is like breaking through the like walnuts or almonds in order to, when you take off the shell of a walnut or an almond, just like you're allowed to remove the shell in order to get through the food, so too you can be shover the egozim. So what exactly is the nature of this heter? So the Aruch HaShulchan, do I have here? Yes, the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Shin Yud Dalet Sif Yud Tes basically says, Ot Kasa, he quotes the Rabbeinu in the Beis Yosef with respect to this halacha, B'Sif Ches, and he's quoting the Shulchan Aruch, Chosol Shel Tzmar Meshel Grogros, Matir V'Sosir Shashiro Sachebel, Shekol Zek Moshe Shove Gozim Moshkedim. So he says, what exactly is the heter? So he says like this, that the heter is basically because the chosolos are enam kelim gemurim. They're not considered to be kelim gemurim. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The enam asuyim makshi sabashlu hatamarim bahem. They're only there in order to preserve the dates to become ripened. And he says that this is essentially consistent with the shita of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch that you can rely upon this heter of mustaki. And therefore here as well, where it is essentially we're talking about a kind of kelim that are flimsy kelim, you can rely upon the chosolos here as well. But what if they wouldn't be flimsy? What if they wouldn't be flimsy? So then he doesn't seem to be inclined to be mako. But if you adopt Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's heter, that by definition, if I have bags, for example, what would be an example like bags of potato chips, which you're not going to use for future storage, if you open it in such a way, if you're opening it with the intention only to use it to remove the potato chips, then what do you normally do with a bag of potato chips after you finish the potato chips? You throw it in the garbage. So then by definition, it would seem that he would hold that that type of situation would also basically be labeled as a mustaki, even if I would say that the heter in such a case is based upon mustaki. And in fact, there are the Sefer Lamites Malachos over here quotes in this is in Malachos Korea Daf Tuf Resh Tes Bav. So he quotes from Rav. He quotes from the Shmirah Shabbos Kilkos volume. I don't have with me right here, which is the Tikkunim Umiluim volume. Anyone have the Tikkunim Umiluim volume? Now they put it out in such a way, right, where they have a two-volume set where it's all included, even the Tikkunim Umiluim. But you have the old where you have it, right? Don't they have a set now where it's all kind of like, you know, part of the token? I don't know. But anyway, there was afterwards a Sefer Tikkunim Umiluim. So the key quotes of Shlomo Zalman. From that additional addendum to the Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa, and he says, "Ulechein bechol harizos she'ein aleim shem kli, all of the bags that don't really have a kli, and izrakos miyad le'achas shenisrokin me'am atochin, they get thrown out after the contents are emptied out. Bein bekupsas karton sakis or niyar, bein medibrei machal dvarim achem kegon trufos begadim etzatzuim." He throws in everything under the sun here, okay? Even if it's a bag, it's holding clothes together or toys. The purpose is only to reach the what's on the inside. So then he says, that they would be considered to be batel to the actual chepitz, meaning to the actual food, and therefore that would be considered to be completely mutter. Now here, he's bringing in a different consideration for the kula, namely that, what did we mention before? So we mentioned, based on Tosfos, that there's a heter mustiki, which Rosh Hashanah Zalman applies the heter mustiki even to things which are going to be thrown out right away. But there's also another consideration if it is the type of bag that's going to be thrown out right away, and that's what he's sort of alluding to over here, and that is something which is mentioned by Moshe Feinstein in his tshuva about cans. That's in the Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Chav Beis. Moshe Feinstein has a very, very long tshuva there about opening up cans and bottles and things and so forth, with a lot of emphasis upon cans. And Rav Moshe in Anaf Tes, okay, in the ninth section of this tshuva, so Rav Moshe says that a big chiddush. Rav Moshe says that he thinks that one can argue that yesh lemelech mizeh gam lekol kli shenaseh kahai gavna kmo sheyesh habei cans. There are a lot of cans, the tables and boxes of spraten. Boxes of spraten? What's that? Milk cartons? Spraten? Don't think so. Shenaseh makelem, okay. We'll try to. Shenaseh makelem rakishvil ochlin. He's primarily focusing upon cans. Shenaseh makelem rakishvil ochlin, where the kelem are being made primarily for the ochlin elu. And afterwards you throw out the cans into the garbage. That he has another grounds to be matir. And this is what Rav Shlomo Zalman is alluding to with respect to over here, the chosolos, right, that we're talking about, of or the cases that are similar to the chosolos, shaltzmar and grogros, mishum, cans, hem keklipa, they are ochlin shebahem. Because the cans are essentially like a walnut shell. And just like you can crack the walnut shell to get to the walnut. Used to be, I remember, that in the olden days when we had shalashudis in my shul. So what was shalashudis? Shalashudis was herring and peanuts. That's what you had. You had a roll, and you had herring, and you had peanuts. So you'd sit around, basically opening up all the peanuts. So, you know, just like it used to be, that there would be, you would have the actual peanut shell, and you get to the, it wasn't just like walnut that you would open up, or pistachios. We still, this is like the last, you know, frontier. We still have pistachios that you often have to break the shells to get to the, it used to be, you wanted to eat a peanut. You broke the shell to get to the peanut. You would actually have a peanut shell. So anyway, so this is just like, you have to break through the peanut shell to get to the peanut, you know. I mean, this is like, you know, 19th century, you know, when I was a kid, whatever. Because the cans are considered to be like a shell, okay? About Tom Heter is that the only caveat that he throws in is that this Heter is Rakashi Yadua Shibnei Medina Zorkim Osam Acha She'ochlim Ash. This is only if the Bnei Medina knows that, this is only when you know that the custom in your country is that people really throw these containers out. After you eat it, they throw it into the garbage. But if there are people, then after you finish a can, like a can of tuna fish, you use it for other things. Like it depends on the container. For example, it used to be that, you know, in our house, whenever we would buy wipes, so the wipes would come in these very nice boxes, like wipes for the babies, you know, to wipe the babies. So if you look in our linen closet, most of our linen closet is filled up with white boxes because we use the white boxes for storage after we got the wipes pretty clean with all the wipes, right? So after you remove all the wipes, so we use it for storage. So it could be that there are people who use tuna fish cans for storage. I don't know. I don't think so, but it could be. Yeah.
What about coconuts?
Coconuts. What about them?
Because people use the shells, but it's a food. Meaning people can
Do people use coconut shells to
store
things?
Yeah, you ever see that people, they drink drink like drinks out of
No, but I would say that in the coconut case there, you don't have to analogize to a coconut shell. It is the coconut shell. So if it is the actual shell to food, so that for sure is mutter to break in order to get to the food. The only question is...
I'm saying if you're using the shell like after Shabbat or something like that.
The Gemara in Shabbos has the 17th parak. As the kara that they used to use it afterwards to, as a water pitcher.
Right, but apopikain, if it's the shell of a food, so you can, if it's the shell of a food, so you can you can break off the shell to get to the food.
But you're going
to
use the shell afterwards, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But still
no, I'm just saying, it would be fine to think that it turns
out. Right, I think in the coconut shell case, it would be okay.
It would be okay.
Because the ikar is that it's a shomer for food. If it wouldn't be a shomer for food and it would just be a container, so then I wouldn't be able to say the ikar is that it's a shomer for food, because by definition it's not a shomer
but
for
if
food.
If you're opening up a container, it's also a shomer for food, but you're just using that container later, just like you would use a shomer.
No, but then I could say, it's a general, now it has food, and next tomorrow it'll have something else, and the next day it'll have something else, but if the coconut grew in the coconut shell, so then I know that this was its ikar designation. It wasn't just something that was artificially imposed upon it. Yes.
Are we saying what's commonly done? And let's say.
Now he seems to hold it's not. He seems to hold that even if it's a substantial minority of a miyesh b'nei adam, his lashon is not in rov b'nei adam. It's miyesh b'nei adam.
So you would never be able to do it, even if you plan on throwing it out. If there's a significant minority,
that's what it sounds like he's saying. Miyesh b'nei adam shvistam shemaleis l'dor machem leke heter zeh. And then he says with sukkar. Then he applies it to the little, you know, like. Sugar packets that the right the sweet and lows the little sugar is right over tzuker shinkarin chabilos kruchim miniyav esak shel niyav shinrak the tzuker elu have a keklipa sheyadua shemashlik in a sack niyav. Everybody knows you're going to throw it out afterwards, right? You're not going to keep that for sure now, right? Niyav nechok bo leashba yeshak shivim keklipa. So that too, he says you should consider it to be like a shell umutra the kuliyama mitama shulchanavak shapirish behetzachosol. So therefore, that would be mutter as well, so he therefore comes up with this possible explanation, and as we saw, Shlomo Zalman kind of carries this over to the other items that would be like, you know, potato chip bags and the like. Yes?
What we're saying about if you finish, if you plan to throw something out after you're done with it, does that include something like, let's say, a big Coke bottle, which you do, after it's done, you plan to throw it out, yet at the same time, you might not finish it, you might put it in your fridge for later?
I think so. Well, I think that according to the svara that we saw in the Shmuel Shavuos Kippur, and that's why I say these things are, you know, are very difficult, because depending upon what your mahalach is and which part of the sugya you extract is the ikka part of the sugya, you'll find different poskim will have diametrically different mahalachim in terms of what they're matir and what they're not matir, which is why we say that, you know, you should generally, you know, be machmir about everything. Before Shabbos. But according to the Mahalakh of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it doesn't sound like it would be a problem if you kept it for a while in the refrigerator, as long as you weren't going to use it again afterwards once the food contents had been exhausted. So now you might say this is, you know, even according to Rav Moshe, if you look at the Lashon here, with respect to this particular hetzer that he's coming out up with, Rav Moshe also says that the hetzer is only if Zorkin Osam Achar She'ochlin La'ashba. He also doesn't say, at least according to this hetzer, and he has a very long tshuva where he comes up with, you know, different possible approaches. One approach might be that you have to take out all the contents entirely, but at least according to this Mahalech, you don't have to, it doesn't sound like you have to remove all the contents right away in order for this hetzer to be applicable. Okay? Now, in the Sefer, Lamites Malachos, he quotes from Rav Fisher. Okay? And this is a tshuva which appears in the Sefer Me'or HaShabbos. Okay? Meha Gaon Rav Yud Yud Fisher. Okay? So he says, "Va'atig loshen atshuva kad." Mashikasa sheni moreh shemutar likvoa sakis shel cholov. He says that there's a tshuva in my name that you're allowed to rip open a milk bag. Remember, in Eretz Yisrael, also the milk bags are like a little bit different from the way they are here. The sakis shel cholov. Okay. Kein nakon adam says that's absolutely correct. I don't deny the allegation. He says, I am of the opinion that every single type of mekalkel, etzorach, achila, is in fact considered to be mutter. So this shita that we quoted in the name of Rashi and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Vav, that the Be'er Halakha we saw took pains to disavow and dispel, nonetheless, as we see, this particular approach is also not completely repudiated by the later poskim. Mizeo, he says, Yisod Mashamu, thinks this is the Yisod of Shogar Adam Esachavis, Lerov HaRishonim, to Lomair Ibn Mustaki. He doesn't think it's Mustaki. Remember, we quoted Tosso saying, yeah, the Gemara in Beis says it's going according to Rabbi Allah, so really it's going according to Chachamim as well. Not everyone says that this is the only, that everyone agrees that the Shogar Adam Shachavis case is Mustaki. No! Even if it's not, the Heter is not based upon Mustaki. The Heter is based upon that you can be mekalkel something entirely for the sake of food. Begam sokis chol ve'mishtam shembov l'shayach asiyas kli. Begam gishu memula v'sorga nami shem kli alav v'kimavua v'kam mishtam shesed taros. Begam v'kriya schela katan ein kan shum tikun. Ki v'shtam shbo tzark l'kora kora rocha v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' something would otherwise be an issa d'oraisa, you're allowed to tear it as long as you're mekalkel legamri, that you're tearing it apart entirely, because essentially he holds that whenever you have a mekalkel l'tzorach achila, that is something which is going to be permissible. So if you take that approach, so that could be both a kula and a chumra. It's a kula in the sense that you don't necessarily have to say something is mustaki. Even if something is a kli chazak, it's a strong and sturdy and solid kli, even if it's a migdol gadol, even if it's a large cabinet container, if you're going to be mekalkelet legamri for purposes of removing the food, so then he holds that that is, at the end of the day, an absolute heter. Our Gemara might be a little bit of a kasha, but he would say that that would be an absolute heter. Ah, but it would come out that if what I need is mekalkel legamri, so that I wouldn't have the heter that I can open something and just leave it until the food is depleted. Then basically I would have to destroy it entirely to begin with. If, even if I'm opening up a potato chip bag, I would have to open it up in such a way that it was destroyed so that I wouldn't be able to continue to contain the potato chips that I didn't eat right away in the bag afterwards. I would have to just empty all the contents. So like we used to do in Moshe Kolo, you would make a hole at the bottom of the milk carton and you have all the contents come out at once. So on the one hand, I wouldn't necessarily, even if it was something which was a strong plea that people might use for future purposes, I could be mekal as long as I'm a calculate, but I would have to be mekal legami. If you're relying upon the heter of mustaki, and you take the approach of Tosfos, so then you have to, in order to delineate the heter, you have to have either a flimsy sort of like potato chip bag or sugar packet or something like that, or you have to be able to extend it and say that by definition, it is flimsy because it's something which you're not going to use for future storage purposes, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach suggested. However, on the kind of more lenient side, once you have defined something as mustaki, so then you don't have to destroy it entirely. You can just break it open a little bit, and then you'll be able to store it at least until the point in which you depleted the food that was inside. So these are some of the different mahalchim that emerge from the sugya. And as I said, there's really a mevucha gedola. There's really a lot of confusion when it comes to this particular inyan because of the potential or the multitudinous potential of different approaches towards the Gemara. But these are two mehalchim. And then sort of the third mehalch that emerges from the discussions is the notion that in certain cases, if it's, as Ramosha writes, if it's something which you're going to throw out afterwards, you're not going to continue to utilize afterwards, and it's only something which is a container for food, so then there might be a third possible heter, and even Shlomo Zalman seems to subscribe to this as well, that I might say that the container and the wrapping is really like a klipas egos, that it's kind of like just a wrapping of a shell, like a walnut shell or an almond shell, so this is also sort of a similar type of shell around the food, since you're not going to use this container for any other purposes. Yes?
Is there an issue of tearing on the perforation?
So again, if you're making a Pesach Yafeh, and you're creating a Pesach Yafeh, so even if you're mako based on mustikis, the Shulchan Aruch said, even if it's like a flimsy kli, you have to be careful not to make a Pesach Yafeh. So if you open on a perforation, so then you're more likely to be making a Pesach Yafeh. So that's always something that should be avoided.
Even if it's flimsy.
Well, some say, and this is a quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman as well, that if you have kind of like the milk carton, where you're opening it up, like, you know, in the way in which you make the spout. And that was, you know, the Gemara in Shabbos spoke about avoiding making a Pesach Yafeh or a Marzev. A Marzev is essentially a spout. But if it was really opened up beforehand, and then it was just kind of like, you know, flimsily glued together, so then the argument is you're not really making the Pesach Yafeh. The Pesach was already there. You're just breaking it open. And if I say that it's considered like mustaki anyway, so then there could be grounds to be makel in that type of situation. Again, these are all very b'di'evit. So my own approach is, yes.
I'm sorry, isn't there an issue of measuring when you're doing a perforated line? Somewhere
if it's mechatech, you mean, that you're kind of, that you're cutting it to a very specific size. So some bring up this shita. What?
Be makim patish in terms of finishing off.
It could be, if you're making a Pesach Yafeh, that could be misaki mana. If you are cutting something to a specific size so that it will be usable in a specific size in the future, so that could be a problem even of mechatech. That mechatech discussion comes up much more in the context of the opening up of the bottles, where you have the bottom part of the bottle ripped off from the top part of the bottle when you turn it. So that's not for today, but that's where that discussion comes up. Yes?
Can you plug in, like, who knows that they have by Tfilas Kalim? It seems to me that there should be an interplay between the two. Like you're saying, if it's Chag Pa'ami, so then we could do it. If it's Chag Pa'ami by Tfilah, they say it works as well. And I'm thinking by Tfilah, when you have a keli, one kula is, if I'm not putting the food back into it, it's not considered to be a keli. Can I use that?
You have that with respect to, like, the aluminum foil pans, for example. You know, that argument is made. I think that there is an overlap. I think that there is a connection. Can't fully explore, you know, the full extent of the connection right now, but I do agree with you that I think that there is certainly a connection. Halakha l'maisa, what emerges, I mean, my own practice is that we are careful. We try our best to open up pretty much everything in the house, you know, before Shabbos. If it turns out that something wasn't open and one has the ability to rely upon any of these kulos, so if somebody else comes along and chooses to rely upon one of these kulos, then I would be comfortable being someone to eat the food afterwards. Okay, stop here.